John is John Shunker is a wonderful young man, full of the anointing, full of zeal and fire for God, and he's actually the youth administrative pastoral leader at TACF in Newmarket. And already God has given him, in a very short space of time, more than 40 young people to take care of. And he's doing a wonderful job. And so I'm really delighted to have him with us. And he's going to bless our socks off. So, John, come on up. You can come up now. I give you permission to come up now.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Ramesh. Thanks, Alice. It's great to be here with you guys. I'm really excited. This is actually my first time at TACF Scarborough, and it's amazing. You guys are awesome. I hope to meet some of you and talk with some of you maybe after the service or something. I'm quite friendly. I don't bite. Please come up and say hi. Introduce yourself. And for those of you who don't know me, I've been around TACF for some time. I've been since about 95. This has been my home church. And so it's been really cool because I was a kid when I came, and I sort of grew up in the kids' ministry, grew up in the youth ministry and everything else. And so it's really a privilege to be able to see what God has done and what he's doing and kind of where he's taking us. And so I'm excited. So that's a little bit about me. And I'm very excited to speak to you today. We're going to be talking about forgiveness and judgments. And this has been one of the messages that has brought the most freedom to my life, like incredible freedom. And we've gone all around the world being able to preach this message, and we just see lives transformed, people hearing this message for the first time, people hearing this message for the fifth time, people hearing this message for like the 50th time. And every single time, God just absolutely wrecks our hearts and comes closer to us and does so much more in our hearts. So my prayer for you today is that as we talk about this, that God will come and bring you greater freedom and greater joy. So why don't we pray? Father, we just thank you that you're so incredible. Lord, I thank you that your word says in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that it is because of you that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And Lord, I thank you that we are righteous in your sight, that we are holy in your sight. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come right now to lead us into all places of truth. Hey, come and reveal your truth to us. Come and reveal your light to us. Come and reveal your presence to us. Lord, I thank you that you desire for us to be free. I thank you that you desire for us to be whole, that you are the God who heals us. And so, Lord, we invite you today to come and to heal places in our hearts that are broken. I thank you that you bind up the brokenhearted and that you are close to those who are crushed in spirit. And Lord, I thank you that you are coming close to us right now, hey, and that we don't have to do anything, Lord, that we can just receive your presence, that we can receive the gift of your presence. And we just choose to receive you today. We choose to welcome you into our hearts and into our lives and into this church. Come, Holy Spirit. Hey. Ha. If there's one thing, hey, if there's one thing that you get out of this today, please understand that God loves you and that he's closer to you than you have ever imagined, closer to you than you ever think. He's the God who sees you. He's the God who's close to you, and he cares for you. Amen. Well, I would like to tell you a story. And the story, if you would like to read it in the Bible, is in Matthew 18. And where is Ramesh? Oh, did he just step out? Oh! Okay, we're going to use him. He doesn't know that we're going to use him. So when he gets back, we're going to call him up here. But I want to tell you a story, and this is one of the parables that Jesus talked about. But before I do that, let me just give you a short introduction. It's really funny that, oh, and water spilling. It's really funny that earlier today, as we were talking, as we were in worship, we were talking about the holiness of God and the righteousness of God and how God, even though he's the Holy One, he's still close to us, right? As Ramesh said earlier, he's still the God who is in our midst. And I love that because that's who God is. That's the nature of God. That's the character of God. He comes close to us. Even though we've all sinned, even though we've all done things that are wrong, even though we're not perfect, He is still the God who comes close to us, and he's still the God who forgives us of all of our sins. He's still the God who heals all of our diseases, as it says in Psalm 103. He's the God who comes close to us. And I love it because, I'm just going to steal this chair, I'll see if that's okay. I love it because before Jesus Christ came, we were at this level of the law, and the law is good. But we're at this level of the law where it says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. So if Abby, why don't you come up here? Abby's an awesome intern, by the way. I've known her probably for about, 2 or 3 years now? And she's amazing. She just did the School of Ministry, and it's great seeing her life transformed. And so in this level of the law is if Abby comes up to me and punches me in the eye, boom. Oh, man, that was a hard punch, and she knocked my eye out. Ow. Ow. Okay, sorry, I'm done. Under the law, I have every right to be able to go and knock one of her eyes out. But you know, it's been said that if all we did was eye for an eye, pretty soon the entire world would be blind. Right? Because Abby has every right. Abby, she knocked my eye out, and I can say, hey, she hurt me. I'm blind, I can't see now. So I'm going to take one of her eyes and make her pay for what she's done. And before Jesus Christ came, this was the extent of the law. This was what we understood. Thank you, Abby, you can sit down. This is what we understood. But when Jesus came, he taught us a whole new level of grace and of mercy. And this level of grace and of mercy is actually higher than the level of the law. And this is where he calls us to. This is where forgiveness flows from. So if Abby had punched me in the eye under the law, I could say, hey, I'm going to take your eye out now. But what Jesus says is if you forgive her, I forgive her, I move up to this level of grace and of mercy. And I say, Abby, I forgive you. You don't owe me anything. And then I look to God and say, God, can you restore to me what was taken from me? And he has the power. He's the only one who can give me my eye back. Abby can't. She knocked it out. She can't put it back. But God's the only one who can give me my eye back. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about grace and mercy as well as the law and kind of the differences between that. But Ramesh, can you come up here for a second, please? Actually, a little bit longer than a second. I'm going to need to use you. Sorry? You have a thing happening. Okay, that's okay. We'll use Jason. Jason, why don't you come up here? Everyone, Jason's excuse. Yeah! Oh, come on, that was a week. Come on, Jason Skews. Yeah. So in Matthew 18, this is the parable that Jesus tells us. And he tells us that once upon a time, there was a wise king. Look wise, Jason. Look wise. Come on. There was a wise king. And a good-looking king. And a handsome king. And a single king. And all of that. So, it's a great king. And one day, this king, this incredibly wise and gracious and handsome and good-looking king, decides to start to settle accounts. So he starts to look at his books, and he starts to say, okay, who owes me what? What have I given out? I'm the king. What do people owe me? And he sees in there that a servant owes him some money. So he has this servant, he has a servant brought before him. And he says, hey! He says, hey. It's okay. As you can tell, we practiced long and hard for this. The king says, hey, you owe me millions of dollars, $10 million. I lent it to you for a business. How's that going?
Do I have to say all that?
Yeah, why not? I lent it to you for a business. And poor Elsie, the money's gone. The business failed. And she owes the king $10 million. Come on, Elsie, a little bit more dramatic if you can. Okay. And she owes the king $10 million. And she falls to her knees. And she says, oh, king! She says, oh, king! No. Come on, you're begging for your life here. Okay. She says, oh, king! I don't have the money. Just give me some time, and I will pay you back everything I owe. I promise. And then she gave him the sad puppy eyes. And the king was so taken. Like, his heart was just so touched. He said, "Aw, Elsie."
"Aw, Elsie."
And he goes, "Oh, come on, yeah, a little bit more compassion, Jason. Come on." He says, "Aw, Elsie." And he comes over and he helps her up. He says, "It's okay. I forgive you.
I forgive you.
You don't owe me anything. You can go." And Elsie's so happy that she skips out of the king's presence. And she goes skipping along. Nicole Smith, ladies and gents, Nicole Smith. And she goes skipping along until she sees Nicole. Everyone go dun dun dun. Okay, that was weak. One more time. Dun dun dun. Okay. She goes skipping along until she sees Nicole. And Elsie had actually lent Nicole $10,000. And Nicole had used that money to go get some, what do you get for yourself?
Hair product.
Lots of hair product. Very good. And Elsie comes up to Nicole and says, "Hey!
Hey!
I want my $10,000.
I want my $10,000.
Give me my money.
Give me my money now."
And Nicole, whose hair looks so great, her hair looks fantastic, says, "Oh, I don't have your money. I spent it.
I don't have your money. I spent it on my hair.
Please, just give me some time.
Just give me just a little bit of time.
And I'll get it all back for you."
Give it all back to you.
But Elsie's quite upset because she wants her
$10,000. I want my money.
Give me my money. And so she actually has Nicole. Come up here, Abby. She has a big, strong security guard. Take Nicole. And throw her into jail. And Nicole's in jail.
And shave
her
hair off.
But you know, when some other servants saw this, they were really upset. And they went and told the king. "Oh, king, look what Elsie has done to Nicole. She's thrown her in jail." And the king, the king is upset.
Upset.
The king is obsessed. Please. The king is upset. So, king, get upset. The king is upset, but not too upset. He doesn't get too upset. The king controls himself. That's good. Good. The king is upset. And he has Elsie brought before him. And the security guard actually brings in Elsie. Comes and brings Elsie. "Come on, drag her in." And Elsie is on her knees. Giving the king the puppy eyes. And the king says, "You wicked, wicked servant. I forgave you all your debt. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had mercy on you?" And he says, and then he turns his head and he says, "Take her away." And the security guard comes and to jail, take her away. The security guard takes and puts Elsie in jail until she should pay back everything that she owes. Ladies and gentlemen, your actors. That was great. You know what's funny is that Jesus says right after that, "This too is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Because this is what I've learned, and this is what I've come to realize, is that I will come to God and I'll be like, "Oh God, I've sinned, I messed up, I'm so wrong, God, forgive me. And God says, "Okay, I forgive you. You're free. You owe me nothing. Go." And then I'll be like Elsie and I'll be so happy. I'll go skipping out of his presence until I meet my childhood nemesis, or until I meet someone who's wronged me or hurt me in some way. Until I meet an ex-girlfriend, until I meet a pastor who hurt me, until I meet someone who wronged me, someone who cheated me out of my money, cheated me out of savings. And then I'll look to them. I'll be like, oh God, get them! Get them now! And they'll just wait. And I'll be like, God, come on, get them. Come on. Come on and get them. Hurry up and get them. Because they hurt me. They wronged me. They did all these things to me. For some of you, for those of you who don't know my story, I came over here from Pakistan when I was 8. And I went to school, which is a good thing to go to. And while I was in school, because I was one of the new immigrant kids, and because my mom used to dress me until I was in like grade 8, and she would always put out these track pants, never jeans, track pants, because fleece is always warmer than jeans in the cold, along with these big like sweaters, and I had this my hair can get really puffy, like really puffy, and I used to think I was quite fashionable with these with this really big mushroom cut, so my hair literally was like. And I would go to school, and at the time, I also had these really big, thick, pink glasses, which I have since grown out of, thank you, Jesus. And I would go to school, and of course, that would make me a prime target to be picked on. Prime target. I, you know, kids can be really cruel sometimes. And so, like, on the playground and the gym classes and whatever, people would make fun of me. And I'm a sensitive guy, and I would get really hurt. I'm like, oh. And I kid you not, I absolutely kid you not, there were times I would lie awake at night in my bed planning on how I would get each and every single one of those people back. I promise you, and I would think up the weirdest things too. Like, I'll take them outside in winter, I'll spray them down with a hose, and then let them freeze. Yes, that would pay them back. Yes, that would. I promise you, these are the things that went through my mind. I would lie in bed thinking up ways to get these people back for the ways they've hurt me and yelled at me and swore at me and made fun of me and embarrassed me and all of this. Yes. And I couldn't wait for that day. And I started to get to know God during this time. You know, growing up at TACF, it's cool in one way and it kind of sucks in another, because if you're going through a hard time, you can't get away from God. Like, you go into church and people are like, oh, isn't God great? And you're just like, shut up. I just want to go, you know? Like, that's how you feel sometimes. But I was going through school. I was going through these hard times, and I started getting to know God. And as I started to get to know God, the funny thing is that as we get to know God more, we become more and more aware of how sinful we are and how really unworthy we are, and which I think is one of the reasons that we shy away from truly getting to know God. But the truth is that, as I said earlier in 1 Corinthians 1:30, God has made us righteous and holy in his sight. And as I got to know him, I started to realize, hey, this God loves me. This God's amazing, and he's provided everything I need. In fact, he's blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Christ, as it says in Ephesians 1. And as I got to know this, I'm like, all of a sudden, my heart started to come alive, because I knew there was someone who loves me. I knew there was someone who was there for me. I knew there was someone who cared for me. And I knew there was someone who loved me enough to provide a way for all my sins to be taken care of so I could always, always, always come into his presence. And God has provided that way for you. So you can always, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, you can always come into his presence, because he is the God who sees you and he is the God who's close to you. And as I started coming into God's presence, God started speaking to me and he started coming close to me and started walking with me. And as he did, he started highlighting areas in my heart that were not right. Because he said this. He said, John, I want you to walk like me. In fact, it says in Galatians 2:20 that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And that is who you are. That's what you are called to. That's how you are called to live. You are called to live as Jesus Christ, as a representative of Jesus Christ to this world. You represent Jesus Christ where you go. And so, as God started to come close to me, he started to say, John, there are things in your heart that aren't right. You have bitterness towards this person. You have anger towards this person. You have rage towards this person. And as he started to say these things to me, I'm like, oh no. Because here's what I thought. I remembered all those times that I would cry in school or that I would cry at home. I remember all those times that I would feel rejected or hurt or angry at what people had done to me. I started remembering all these things started going through my mind. And I started saying, oh no, God, I don't know if I want to forgive them. I don't know if I want to forgive them because they've hurt me. They've done this to me. God, by all rights, they deserve the punishment. They deserve to know how much I've hurt them. They've hurt me. They deserve to know how much pain I went through, how much anguish I went through. They deserve that. I don't know if I want to release them. That makes no sense. And God started showing me, He started showing me in the Bible how whenever I hold on to something, and the same is true of you, whenever you hold on to something, you actually stop God from working in that situation. Because when you do, you actually judge the other people. And the Bible says that God is the perfect judge. We are not the perfect judge. What one example of this that played out in my own life was my relationship with my father. I love my dad. I love my mom. They're great people. In fact, Elsie met my dad earlier this weekend. She came up to me. We were talking about it a little bit. I love my dad. My dad was raised as the second youngest of six children, and his parents weren't really around for him very much. So when my dad became a father, I'm the firstborn, when my dad became a father, he really didn't have much idea of what does a father look like, what does a father do. And as all parents know, it's a lot of trial and error, right? Like, more error than trial, I don't know. But it's a lot of trial and error. And my dad, when he would get angry, he would get really, really angry. And he would yell at me, and he would like say all these horrible things to me and hit me. And as a result, I got really scared and really angry at him. Because I used to think, you say you love me, but then you do these things, and this doesn't make sense. I would just get so mad at him. And 3 years ago, in January 2006, I was down in California. We were doing an outreach at a church down there, and it was really cool. We were working with, we were working in parts of the inner city with like drug houses, and there were three drug houses on our street that we were working with. There was like people going through rehab and everything. It was an awesome, awesome time. And there was one skit that we had to put on, and because I can be a little bit more outgoing, they asked me to help out with a skit for kids. And so I'm there, and we're teaching about father types. We're teaching about who the different types of fathers and really who God is, as some of you have been learning. And so I'm doing this, and I get assigned the abusive father, the one who yells, the one who hits, the one who does all these things. And immediately I'm like, I can't do this. And the funny thing is that I had just done the school of ministry. I'd just gone through this deep healing of my heart. And all this stuff starts coming up towards my dad that I didn't know was there. And I'm lying down, literally, if the stage is right here, I'm lying down in one of these chairs just because I was tired. And I just have some worship on, and over the worship, I can hear so many angry words and fake hitting, like my friends were. They're like, you know, like, shut up! And laughing and having a great time. But all of these memories from my dad, I promise you, from, I couldn't remember, I didn't have many memories of my dad from when I was before 11. I'd blocked them all out of my head. I had maybe two or three memories, and they weren't good memories. And I just, in the weeks leading up to this, I'd just been asking God, I'm like, God, why do I not have any good memories of my father? And so I'm lying down, and while I'm lying down and hearing these words and hearing these fake hits and everything, all of a sudden memory after memory after memory after memory after memory starts coming into my mind of the times that he had yelled at me, of the times that he had hit me, of the times that he had done these things. And I didn't know what else to do. I just started crying because I was so overwhelmed. I said, God, I don't want these. These are not the memories I want of my father. And God said to me, he said, John, you have a choice. You can either choose to walk this out with me by forgiving him and releasing him, and I will restore to you good memories of your father and restore your relationship with your father, or you can continue to hold on to them. What do you want? I was just like, okay, I give up. And I forgave my dad. And I started, God took me through every single memory I had. And I forgave him, I released him, and I blessed him in each one. And as I did, afterwards, I could remember three or four really incredible memories of my dad. And as a result of that, I came back home, I talked with my dad, and our relationship started improving to the point where now we're friends. Before, we weren't friends. I would come home, my dad would be like, how was your day, son? I'm like, fine, I'm going up to my room, bye. And I'd just go to my room, shut the door, because I didn't want to be around him, because I had so much hurt against him, I had so much unforgiveness towards him. Now, we sit down, we can talk, I can ask him for advice, which I haven't been able to do before. He asked me for advice, and we've entered into this place of friendship as well as sonship and fathership. That's incredible. But that wouldn't have happened had I not chosen to forgive him. See, because forgiveness is costly. Forgiveness does cost you something. We've all been hurt in this room. We've all had things, we've all been sinned against. We've all had things happen to us. And what God asks us to do is not to say that what happened was okay or what happened was fine or just brush it off and say, oh yeah, it didn't affect me. But what God asks us to do is to forgive other people like he forgave us. You know, in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 5, it says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. I want to be completely forgiven. But God asks that if he gives me mercy, that I give mercy as well. And so God started to come to me and started to say, John, you need to forgive your dad. You need to forgive your dad. And as I forgave him, I actually moved from the area of the law up to the area of grace. Because what I was doing in the area of law was I was saying, oh no, I can't forgive him because he owes me this. I feel like some of my childhood was taken from me. I feel like he was angry with me. I feel like he needs to take back all those angry words. He needs to take back all those times he hit me. He needs to take back everything that he ever did against me. And then maybe I'll think about forgiving him. And because of that, because of the way I lived like that, my relationship with my dad was horrible. But when I moved up to the area of grace and started to say, okay, God, I choose to forgive him. I just release him. I just bless him. Lord, and I look to you. I actually prayed this. I said, Lord, I look to you to come and to restore me and to come and to restore my dad and to come and to restore our relationship. When I started to say that, when I started to release my dad, our relationship just started getting so good. And it is getting better and it's going to get better. But it all started because I forgave him. It's true, he had really hurt me. He had done a lot of things against me. And he didn't deserve to be forgiven. But then again, neither do I deserve to be forgiven. And neither do you deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We can never do anything to earn it. But God loves you so much. God loves each of you so much that he freely and unconditionally forgave you on that cross. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 that God is not counting your sins against you. He freely forgave you. And then all he says is, now go and do the same. So my dad didn't deserve to be forgiven. But I gave him a gift he did not deserve. And as I gave him that gift, I moved into the area of grace, which is higher than the area of law. See, because the area of law is where Satan operates. He can say, yeah, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I've heard it said that every time you point a finger at someone, there are three pointing back at you. And you cannot say to someone, look, this is what you've done to me, because then all of a sudden you open yourself up to anyone you've ever hurt in your life, to them being able to say to you, hey, you hurt me in this area. I want what you hurt me for. So when you say you want justice, you can get justice. If Jason steals $10 from me, he shouldn't have taken $10 from me, granted. But if I go to him and I say, hey, give me my $10. Well, you know what? There are people I've stolen from. And then they have every right to say to me, hey, give me the money you stole from me. I don't want that. Because that's a lot more than $10. A whole lot more. But if I say to God, God, Jason hurt me. He stole from me and he took that from me. But God, I forgive him and I release him. He owes me nothing. God, will you restore to me what was taken from me? As God, we actually partner with God and open ourselves up to God's grace and God's mercy. And it says in James 6, oh, sorry, not James 6. Let me just get that for you. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says in James chapter 2:13, it says, "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, but mercy triumphs over judgment." Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, but mercy triumphs over judgment. And we see that in our lives. Right? We see that in our lives where we deserve death. We deserve to be separated from God for eternity. God says, no, in my mercy, I'm going to reconcile you to me. I'm going to bring you back to me. And his mercy triumphed over judgment. But now I want to ask you this. Are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to let mercy triumph over judgment in your life? Because in order to do that, one of the ways that we overcome, one of the ways that we allow mercy to triumph over judgment in our life is to walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness, is to walk in a lifestyle of releasing people when they hurt us and not holding it against them. Because when we do that, we move up to the area of grace, which is so far above the level of law. This stage doesn't do it justice, which is so far above the level of law. And we say, okay, God, I look to you. Come and restore to me. Come and give back to me what was taken from me. And then God's able to, he's released in our lives to give to us everything that we need. But it's only in the area of grace, not in the area of law. In the area of law, you only get what you have coming to you. You only get what you've earned, for what you've worked hard for and what you've earned. But in the area of grace, you open yourself up to everything that God wants to give to you, which is so far above and beyond anything we could ever earn. You could never earn forgiveness. But God gives it to you. You can never earn his Holy Spirit, but he gives it to you. Everything in the Christian life you can never earn, but he gives it to you freely. And he says, now go and do the same. He wants us to walk like him and to be like him. And that involves forgiving others. Now, I want to clarify something here. Forgiveness is not a feeling. When I was a teenager, I went on an encounter weekend, which if you've never been on what Ramesh and Elsie were talking about, it's amazing. Go on one. Make sure you get on the next one. And I went on an encounter weekend, and I was hearing this talk about forgiveness. And I tried forgiving the kids who had hurt me in school. I'm like, God, I forgive them now. God, I choose to forgive them now. Nope, but I still feel angry. What is going on? This doesn't work. Oh, well. And I walked off. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. You don't feel like you have forgiven someone. Forgiveness is actually a choice. It's an act of your will. It's actually choosing to give someone else the gift they do not deserve. And the funny thing is that I've heard it said that forgiveness is like, it's almost as if Nicole was back in prison. Forgiveness is opening the door to a prison and letting the prisoner go free. And then finding out that the prisoner was you all along. Because that's what unforgiveness does. Unforgiveness actually holds you back. Unforgiveness, it actually harms you. Because while Jason is sleeping soundly in his bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he stole $10 from me, but he's still sleeping soundly, I'm awake plotting about how I can get the $10 back. Who's being harmed in that? Me. I need my sleep. Right? This is what happens when we don't forgive, is that we carry all these things, all these past hurts of our lives, and we carry them throughout our life. And it actually takes a toll on us, spiritually, mentally, and physically. You know, I've heard stories. We will pray for people, and sometimes, like, we have stories of backs being healed, of cancer leaving bodies, of arthritis leaving, as people forgive. Because when you carry around bitterness in your heart, it actually makes itself known in your physical body. So we have seen people who, after years of carrying around bitterness towards like an ex-husband or something like that, they have all this back pain. They've gone to every doctor. They've tried every medication. They've tried all these things, and it doesn't work. And as soon as they forgive, the pain leaves. Why? Because they move from the area of law to the area of grace. And what they could not get in law, they get in grace. What they could not get down here, they get up here. Because then they're no longer saying, hey, I want what's coming to me. They're saying, God, you give me what you want. Give me your grace. And he's able to give to them and heal them and bless them. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. And the thing is that there we've all been hurt deeply in one way or another. And we need to go through layers of forgiveness. Have you guys seen Shrek? Yeah? Have you seen Shrek? You know when him and Donkey are talking? And he's like, ogres are deep. Ogres are like layers. And Donkey's like onions? You got onions? That's what forgiveness is like. There are different layers to it. Because there are things that will happen in our lives, and the first choice we make is to forgive. But that happens more in our head, because in our heart we're still holding on to the pain. And as it keeps coming up, I promise you this, if you walk, try the next year. I will give you a Shunker guarantee on this. Your money back if it doesn't work. Take the next year and walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. And see how much you change. Because you may not see happen, you may see incredible things happen at once, but you as you walk through those layers of hurt, as you walk through those layers of anger, as you allow God to peel it back, you will find yourself walking into such freedom, walking into such hope, and be like, oh, I feel so good. Because then, instead of holding on to all those hurts, holding on to all that anger, all that bitterness, which will weigh you down, you're actually just releasing it to God. And you can focus on what he's calling you to do instead of being so focused on your own hurt and your own issues. That's the freedom God wants to give you today. Forgiveness is not saying that what someone did was okay. Forgiveness is not saying that they're free to do it again or they're free to continue doing it. All forgiveness is saying, look, I choose to take my hands off the situation and I choose to give you over to God. You don't owe me anything. Because God will deal with them in perfect justice. Now some of you are saying, this sounds good, but John, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know the things that have happened to me. You don't know how badly I've been hurt. You don't know what that guy did to me when I was younger. You don't know how that person left me. You haven't heard the horrible things that have been said about me. You're right. I don't know. I absolutely don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know. But I do know that Jesus Christ loves you. And I do know that he is the one who identifies with you and knows every single thing you've ever gone through. Because he himself became a man. He himself became human. When he didn't have to, the Son of God came to the earth to die for us and to live as us. Completely and holy, and he experienced everything that we experience. He experienced sexual abuse. Imagine someone stripping off your clothes in front of everyone and then forcing you to parade through town, hanging up there on a cross naked. You know, we look at crosses and Jesus, it shows Jesus with a little loincloth. Well, that's just to be proper for us. But that's not how he died. Jesus knew the pain of having his friend reject him. Imagine walking with someone for 3 years, day in and day out, getting to know them, their likes, their dislikes, their sense of humor, their laughter, like all of that, and then having them turn on you and turn you over to the authorities. He knew what it was like to be abandoned when all his friends left him. He knew what it was like to have to struggle with uncertainty and struggle with all these things. He knows exactly what you've gone through. And what you're going through. And the crazy thing is that it says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is patient. And one of the definitions of patience is someone who will come and suffer with you as if they themselves are going through it. And that's how God is with us. When we're going through something difficult, God himself comes and sits beside us and says, okay, we're going to get through this. Come on, I'm walking you through this. I'm walking this with you. That's who love is. and he knows what you've gone through. I may not know, no other human being on this earth can identify with you, but the Son of God came to live as you, to so closely identify himself with you that he became us. He so closely identified himself as a human being that he actually became one of us and went through the entire range of human emotions. So my friends, Jesus Christ knows exactly what you've gone through, exactly what you're going to go through, and he knows your pain. He knows what you've gone through. And yet he still asks you to forgive. He still asks you to forgive because he knows the incredible joy that you will receive, and he knows the incredible the grace that will be given to you. So please, 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 please do not. There's no point holding on to hurts or anger. There's no point holding on to it, because when you hold on to it, you're just hurting yourself. You're just harming yourself. But I want to challenge you today to be able to give the gift that people do not deserve, because in so doing, you will move from the area of law up to the area of grace. As I've been speaking, some of you have had thoughts starting to come to mind. Some of you have had memories coming up, as I did, of my father. Some of you are thinking of ways that people have hurt you. In fact, I feel like someone in this room has been, there's at least one person in this room that has been badly hurt by someone else, and you've been carrying it around for years. And as I've been talking, this has been coming up in your mind over and over, and you keep seeing this person. And inside of you, you're saying, should I forgive them? Should I? Can I actually move past this? I challenge you to do it. I can't do it for you. There's nothing that I can do. But if you choose to walk this out, you will find God will come so close to you. What we're going to do is I want to give you an opportunity to actually walk through some of this, to actually forgive some people. And the first thing we're going to do is we ourselves are going to receive forgiveness for anything that we have done. If there's anything weighing on your mind, you can always go to God and receive forgiveness. Because with that knowledge of how much we have been forgiven, just like the servant in the story, just like Elsie, she was forgiven so much, and she held on to so little. And sometimes we can be like that, where we have been forgiven so much. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So we all deserve to die. So what is someone rejecting you if you have life? Sometimes we still choose to hold on to the little bit. I want to challenge you to let go of the little bit. So what we're going to do first is we're going to pray and ask God we're going to receive his forgiveness into our lives for the things that we have done. And then we're going to forgive other people, the other people that have hurt us, and we're going to release that to God. And you will notice in yourself, you will notice that you become so much lighter, so much freer, so much more full of joy and compassion and hope, which is what God wants you to be like. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14:17. God wants you to be right, full of righteousness, peace, and joy. So why don't we just stand up, and we're just going to throw a quiet CD on. We actually have some prayers on PowerPoint that we're going to pray to, that we're going to pray through together. And the first prayer that we're just going to pray through is just asking God to forgive us for our sins. So when it comes to the places, I just want just your attention for a second. When it comes to the places on the prayers where there are blanks, I would please say it out loud, but say it under your breath so that people, like, it doesn't matter what the person on the side of you thinks of you, but you do need to get it out. You do need to let it out. So say it under your breath. So if you could get those prayers up, Abby, please. Thank you. I'm just going to pray real quick. Lord, I ask that you would come right now. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Lord, come and lead us and guide us into all areas of truth, all areas of righteousness, God. Come and free us. Come and open us up to you so we might get to know you better. And Lord, today we choose to be obedient, and we choose to walk in your footsteps as we start to forgive people that have hurt us, as we start to release these things, God. And we look to you to restore to us what was taken from us. We look to you to give back to us the areas where we have been hurt. We look to you to give back to us what we could never get on our own. So some of you, as I've been talking, you have ideas, you're getting pictures or images of the times that you have sinned, the times that you have wronged others, or the times that you have sinned against God. What we're going to do is, there's a prayer right now up on PowerPoint. We're just going to pray this together. And again, when we get to the blank, we're just going to pause. And just under your breath, I just want you to ask God, if there's any sin coming up, I just want you to ask God to forgive you. Because He does, and He freely gives that gift to you. So why don't we just pray this together? And so, Father, I confess that I've committed the sin of... And just go and fill in any sins that are coming up in your mind. Lord, forgive me for pride. Lord, forgive me for areas where I've thought that I'm better than other people. Lord, forgive me for greed. Forgive me for the areas where I've tried to provide for myself. Lord, forgive me for being wise in my own eyes. Lord, forgive me for the areas where I've chosen to walk my own way and I've deliberately turned my back on you, God. Forgive me for these areas. And let's continue. And I ask God that you now forgive me of my sin. Father, I thank you for the finished work of Jesus on the cross, which now makes it possible for me to be forgiven. I just want you to wait and just receive His forgiveness. I see some of you have been, I see almost like all this heaviness on your heart has not just been released. Because God is coming to you and He's releasing you from those things. He's releasing you from sins. So, Lord, right now we just choose to enjoy your forgiveness. We choose to stay in your forgiveness. And we thank you for your forgiveness for us, God. And we receive that, and we thank you that you unconditionally and freely give it to us. It says right there, Father, your word says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, so Father, we receive our forgiveness now. Cleanse us and wash us of all defilement which we may have caused because of our sins, God. Hey, come and restore to us. And now, if I could just get you to close your eyes, I just want you to ask God, God, who do I need to forgive? God, who is it in my heart that I need to forgive? Who am I carrying around with me? Because I feel like there are people that are going to start coming before your mind right now. There are people that are going to be start to come before your eyes, and God wants you to forgive them. You're going to start seeing people in your mind's eye. And what we're going to do, I'm not going to force you to do this. I'm not going to make you do this. But if you would like to give them a gift, if you would like to give them the gift of your forgiveness, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer for me, to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to invite you to move from the area of law to the area of grace. So if you would like to do that, we have a couple of prayers that are just going to come up. Why don't we just pray this one right now together? So thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place that I might be forgiven. By an act of my will, I now choose to forgive those who have hurt me and sinned against me. And now I forgive and say their name, say it under your breath, and I want you to be specific. I want you to almost picture them standing right in front of you. I want you to speak to them as if they were right here and say, I choose to forgive you. I release you for hurting me. I release you for saying those things about me. Some of you need to forgive your parents. Some of you have been holding on to what your parents did not give you for years. So I feel like there's this lady here who has been judging her mother and been holding on to her mother for so long because her mom was not the best, was not the greatest mom. And God's saying, you need to release her so that I can come and be your parent. So Lord, we choose to forgive these people. And if you haven't already done so, I want you just to speak to them and just say specifically what you forgive them for. Because it's only when we are in touch with the level of hurt that they have caused to us that we can freely give to them our gift of forgiveness. So let's continue on. I give them a gift they do not deserve, the gift of my forgiveness. And from now on, they owe me nothing. And I ask that you bless each one of these in Jesus' name. I just want you to wait for a second and pause. And if you have someone in your mind's eye, if you have someone that you've forgiven, I just want you to pray for them and just start to bless them. Because you will find that as we start to bless others, God blesses us so far above and beyond what we can handle. So we bless each person that has sinned against us. Lord, each person that has hurt us, each person that has spoken badly about us, each person that has hit us, God, each person that has said horrible things about us, God, we freely bless them and we forgive them. Lord, and we release them to you. And we ask that you and your great mercy will come and restore to us what's been taken from us. And there's just one more area I would like to talk about, and that's the area of releasing God. Some of you have been holding on to areas where you feel like God let you down or areas where you feel like God did not come through. I would just ask you to release that to God. You can say something like, God, I choose to release you from the areas where I've held on. One of the areas that I held on to God was when one of my good friends who was 22, he died from testicular cancer. And we all thought he was going to be healed. And for a long time, I held that against God, saying, God, why did you let this happen? You could have saved this. You could have stopped this. And that actually stopped my relationship with God. I don't want that to happen with you. And as I release God, and as I say, God, I don't understand everything in this situation. I don't understand why he died, but he died. And Lord, I give that over to you. I found that God came so close to me. And to this day, I still don't know, but I'm willing to be okay with that. I don't need to know everything. So I want to challenge you. If you're holding on to an area, if you're holding on to a hurt from God, if you feel like God hurt you, I want to challenge you just to release that today. That's what today's about, is just releasing these things that we've held on to. And if you would like to do that, it's a very simple prayer. It's just saying, God, I release you for this. And you can pray that under your breath right now. Lord, I choose to release you for the areas I didn't feel like you were there, for not being there for me in my childhood, God, when I didn't see you, God. And I ask that you would forgive me for my ungodly reaction, for my ungodly response, God. So, church, I just bless you today. I just bless you to walk in forgiveness and freedom and wholeness. Walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. Walk in a lifestyle of grace. Because you have been given grace, and you are now called to walk in grace and walk as Jesus walked. Hey, we're just going to leave the CD running for a little bit, because there are people, please, if you would like to talk, please do so outside or at the back, because there are people that are still forgiving others. There are people that are still working through some things in their hearts, and we just want to respect that and honor that. If you would like some extra prayer, please come up to the front. Elsie would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. Ramesh would love to pray with you. But be blessed this week. Be blessed in your walk with God. I just bless each and every single one of you right now to walk so closely with God, to feel his presence, to hear his voice, to feel him with you and around you and near you, to feel him guiding you through your week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his face upon you and give you peace. That's my prayer for you. Be blessed, church.